佛，一耶佛，一耶佛，从我的人一耶
佛。
Copy of God's Word, the Bible, is offered to you free of charge. No cost, no obligation to you, yours to take and do with as you will. God's Word, has the ability to make a person a body wise. Wisdom, not cleverness. Wise for salvation that's to be found in Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ alone, the gospel, good news for sinners, that is, good news for those who are out of the way, God's way, that is, good news for those who have broken God's law and are conscious of it. Good news for those who are seeking the kingdom of God. Good news for those who desire to be right with God. Good news for those who desire to avoid the damnation of hell. Good news for those who desire heaven instead. So you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. The Bible, of course, that's the place where you can read the historical fact, the truth as to what Jesus did accomplish, how he came, just as the Old Testament of the Bible, God there predicted that he would do, came. He lived a blameless life. And of course, loved men and women, expressed the compassion and goodness and kindness of God, healing the sick and delivering people from evil. And of course, even raising the dead. Then, of course, you can read about what they did to him. What the human race did to the only good man that ever lived on the face of this earth. They took him and nailed him to a cross. But of course, death wasn't the end. Death couldn't hold him. It wasn't strong enough. It wasn't powerful enough. He rose again from the dead after the third day, just as the Old Testament of the Bible said that he would. So it's here in God's Word that you can read about these things, learn, and see, of course, the kind of Savior that God has provided for you, that you might be saved from your sin, your wrong thinking, your wrong reasoning, and of course, the full and final consequences of your sin. Everybody, all of us need a Savior. God's sin, you see, is a universal problem. You know, it's tainted every single one of us. Not a man, not a woman in all the history of the human race that hasn't and doesn't sin. So sin, you see, is a universal problem, but the gospel's a universal answer. Because the grace of God is being revealed, bringing salvation to all people, all kinds of people, whatever you be, whatever you are, whatever your background, whatever your personal involvement in sin be, there is an answer, there's a cure, and of course it's the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. listen, if you will, to God's word. Then Pilate, that's the Roman governor at the time when Jesus walked the face of this earth. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See,
Jesus is Lord, man.
See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man."
Listen, Jesus
was, that is.
Jesus was a man.
Philippians chapter 2. No, he wasn't. Philippians,
yes, he was.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. Jesus Christ is Lord.
No, he's not. He was a Muslim.
I'm not here to argue with you, sir.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just questioning you.
You're arguing me. You're arguing.
In the public arena, and I'm asking
so
you.
So, Jesus Christ, behold the man, Jesus.
Are you willing to
the speak one who was crucified, dead and buried.
Are you not going to talk to me?
Sir, you're an atheist.
I'm not an atheist, I'm a Muslim.
You're a godless atheist.
I'm a Muslim. How can I be an atheist?
You know that God exists.
Of course, that's
the true and living God. Allah's not God.
Why isn't
Muhammad is dead.
You know what Allah means? You know what Allah is? Allah just in the
Muhammad is dead and buried and gone to hell.
Who is?
Self-confessed murderer, Muhammad.
Hey, be careful.
He's a murderer.
Be careful,
he's a murderer.
Be careful,
and
lad.
He's gone to hell.
Be careful, lad.
Are you threatening me?
A new soul
are you threatening me?
What are you going to do?
Are you threatening me?
What are you going to do about it?
Are you threatening me? I'll call the police.
Call them, call.
Are you an extremist?
Huh?
Are you a terrorist?
You do not an extremist. You think Jesus is Lord? That's an extreme belief.
You see?
That's an extreme belief.
You see how it goes with some people? You can't talk to them, you can't reason with them.
Yeah.
They just want to hate on you. They just want to...
Are you feeling right?
They want us
for a discussion.
They want us off the face of the earth.
You for a discussion.
This is what you've invited into your country. This is a heathen religion that you're faced with because you have rejected the God of grace, the God of kindness, love and compassion.
I'm just asking
so you're faced with this
the guy
terror.
Around and got angry.
You're faced with this
I'm not the one that's angry.
You're faced with the terror merchants instead of the God of grace, kindness and love.
That is my
Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners.
Why is he angry for?
Jesus Christ lived and loved and died. He gave himself for sinners that you might be saved from your sin. The Old Testament, the Bible, the prophet Moses, he said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin.
Are you running for
God himself has provided the blood sacrifice. His own son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Only Jesus, only God's Son, the second person of the blessed and holy Trinity, only Jesus can save you. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's declared to be so. He's alive from the dead, risen from the dead. He defeated, he overcame sin, death and hell. Muhammad's gone, he's dead, he's finished. Jesus Christ is alive and alive forevermore.
Moses is a messenger.
Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything in all creation shall bow the knee to him. Jesus, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The Bible, people, God's word. God's word, people. The truth as it is in Jesus. Behold the man, the Son of God. Son of God, people. He is the one that you must believe in. He is the only Savior of sinners. People are not here today to argue with people about their religion or about anything else. Simply and only to tell you the truth as it is. saying that Jesus was crucified, and Pontius Pilate, the Roman government, he said to the people, "Behold the man Christ Jesus, the one of whom the Bible speaks clearly as the only mediator between God and men. There is no other people, no other who can bring you back to God. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, only the Son of God. He is the daysman. He is the one who intervenes between us and God, and bridges, of course, the gap between us that is caused by our sin. There's a breach, you see. Our sin has separated us from God, and of course the only one who can heal that separation, that alienation, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's what he came into the world for, not to make men religious. You see, you can become religious like the man beside me a few moments ago. It'll make you angry, it'll make you murderous, it'll make you self-righteous, it'll make you maybe a bit moral, maybe a bit more respectable. It'll do all kinds of things for you, but it won't bring life to your soul. It won't bring eternal life to you. It won't bring God's forgiveness to you. It is only Jesus Christ. It is only the Son of God, the only mediator between God and men, that can heal that breach, that separation between you and God. Behold the man Christ Jesus, the only mediator between God and man. Of course, in the Bible, gives us, a clear definition, description of the man Jesus Christ. Behold the man, Bible says, that he looked like a man, he was a man, a very real man, he was born of the Virgin, came into the world, in that fashion, in that way. Well, as you truly know, then of course, grew up just like all other children, young men, and of course at the age of 33, he was done away with on the cross, crucified. But you see, he just looked like all other men. You saw him walking down the street. You wouldn't think him to be no different than nobody else. But then he was, because the Bible says that in him the fullness of God dwelt bodily. God was in Jesus Christ, you see, reconciling the world to himself. God had to become a man, you see, in order to deal with man's sin problem. That's the phenomenal thing about the gospel, you see. God, I guess, of course, could have sent another prophet, a whole bunch of preachers, but, what could they do? What can another man do? It's God himself that had to come and save us. So you see, in Jesus Christ, you have his, he's God and he's man, he's both. In him the fullness of God was. That's how he was able to do the phenomenal things that he was able to do. Religious man that came to Jesus on occasion, asking him about the things he was doing, he said to him, he said, nobody could do the things you are doing. He said, if you weren't from God. And of course, well, he was, because he was, and he is God. So he was able to do the phenomenal things that he did, raising the dead and giving eyesight to the blind, healing the sick, stuff, you see, that only God can do. So you see, when Pilate and the Roman governor says, "Do you behold the man?" He's saying, "Hey, this is more than just a man. This is the Son of God and God the Son, because you see, he is so. He has the ability to save. He has the ability to bear away your sin. He has the ability to deal with the wrath of God that's due to you because of your sin, to bear it away in his own body on the tree. That's why he came. That's why he was born. That's why he lived to die. To die on that cross, to spill his blood in order that you might be washed and made clean and made fit for God and fit for heaven. But it's only the God-man. Like I was saying earlier, you know, Allah can't do that for you. There is no Allah. You know, it's just a figment of the Islamic imagination. Muhammad, well, he's a self-confessed murderer, says so himself in his own writings in the Quran. Well, the Bible says, God says in the Bible, no murderer has eternal life. So what's the logical conclusion? He's dead, he's gone, buried, and gone to hell because he was a murderer by his own confession. So what can he do for anybody? What can he do to save anybody? Only Jesus Christ, only the God-man. Nobody else can save you. Behold the man Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners, to bear the punishment that was due to you and I, and to liberate and to set us free. But here's the thing, people, like I was trying to say when the man was shouting and bawling, you know, as a nation, you've turned your back upon the God of grace and love, the God of the Bible, I mean the only God, the true and living God. You turned your back on him, you've forsaken the gospel, and that's the stuff that you're faced with now. That's why you get all this heathen religion amongst you now. Because you forsook the fountain of living waters. You turned your back on God, and it is grace to God that's delivered this nation time and time again from all kinds of evils. And now this is what you face with. The whole of Europe, in fact, not just your own country, swamped with them. And it's not going to get better any time soon unless there's a massive dose of repentance given to you. Turn back from your sin and your wicked ways, your God-rejecting ways, and turning back to God through Jesus Christ, His Son. Behold the man who's able, the man who's able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through Him, but only through Him, no other mediator between God and man, only the man Christ Jesus. Behold the man Jesus. In Him, the Bible says, in Jesus Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is a source, His Word, source of all knowledge. He knows everything, you know. What do you know? What do I know? You know, you're able to do some things, I know. You know certain things. But you see, the very fact that you know things is proof that you know that God exists. Because you see, if God hadn't revealed knowledge to you, you wouldn't be able to do anything. You wouldn't even be able to have a meaningful thought. Never mind do anything. You know, this nonsense about evolution, you know, this lie from the pit of hell, you know, that's invaded and captivated the minds of the most of you in this nation today. It's a lie, people. It's not true. And you know it. You know it isn't. Your heart of hearts, you know that God is. Because He says He has shown it to you. He's made it plain to you. He says that you even understand it. Oh, you know that God is just as much as I do. And the very fact that you know things and are able to do them, science, you know, you talk about science, you talk about reason. Well, pray tell me how you can get reason, how you can get science, how you can get thinking, how you can get laws out of matter, out of just a natural material universe, which is all you've got. And of course, if evolution's true, well, all you are is just a piece of chemical fizz. So how can a piece of chemical fizz do science, philosophy, ethics, or anything else? You can't, people. It doesn't equate. It doesn't work. You got no justification for doing anything, even for breathing without God. Now, you see, in Jesus Christ, in Him, in His Word here, you see, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, but of course, more importantly, the knowledge of salvation. Here you see, as the highest authority, Jesus Christ is Lord, and this is His Word. This is the highest authority. way over your science books, way over your Darwins and Dawkins. They're fools. They're fools, he said. Fools. And so, of course, are those who follow their teaching, their evolutionary nonsense. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So you see, in Jesus Christ, you have the fullest, and you have the final, and you have the overall authority in His Word. What He commands you, that you must do. Behold, the man, the one in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Him, behold the man, the one in whom centers and shines the love of God. The love of God in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son, His only Son, Jesus that is, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. There's the love of God, the evidence of God's love in giving His Son and giving Him up to the death of the cross. You see, dying for us while we were yet enemies of God. You know, God doesn't wait for you to tidy up your life, get your act together. Just as you are, you come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness and salvation. You see, He died for His enemies. I didn't come to call the righteous, Jesus says, but to call sinners to repentance. He didn't come for the goody-goodies. He didn't come for the self-righteous. He didn't come for those that think they're okay, that don't need a Savior, don't need to be forgiven. He didn't come for those. Now, people, Jesus Christ, in Him centers and shines out the love of God, the great, the amazing love of God, you know, for wicked, evil sinners, for the vile and for the rotten. I know some of you think yourselves to be good people, but you're not really. You don't know yourself. You've never been born again. Do you know what you are? Do you know what you are before God? If you don't, you've never been born again. When a man or woman is born again, they come to a knowledge of themselves as well as the knowledge of God. They begin to realize they're not good. Not good at all, because there's none good, says God. Only God is good, Jesus says. Not good at all. We're all of us vile, myself included. Not one of us is not capable of the worst of crimes against our fellow human beings. You see, people, that's the truth of the matter. Hearts that are deceitful and desperately wicked. That's why you need a Savior. That's why you need Jesus. That's why you need the one I'm talking to you about this afternoon. Behold the man, the one in whom centers the love of God, the one from whom shines the love of God. You know, it's not something that God's done in a corner, done before all the world, you know, for men and women to see.
Don't read them, please.
Well, that's from the Bible, dear. From the Bible. So you see, people, it's, you know, the love of God, you see, has been evidenced before the whole world. You know, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years on, you know, since He was crucified, dead and risen from the dead, you know, ain't gone away. You know, ain't gone away. Nothing's changed, people. It still goes on. The gospel's being proclaimed the world over, and men and women are being saved and added to the kingdom of God, because God has made His love known. And you see, when men and women come to see what they really are, when they come to realize, you know, that they are vile and rotten, deceitful, that they are sinful, and that they need a Savior, well, you see, it's the love of God that draws. And behold the man, Jesus, the one, you see, that the one that's revealed the love of God to us. You know, the Bible, it says that men suppressing the truth about God in unrighteousness, He says they exchange the truth for a lie, exchange the truth about God for a lie. And what did they get in doing the exchange? Well, the Bible tells us what they got in exchange. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. That's what you got in exchange for rejecting God, rejecting the knowledge of God. That's the package. That's what you get in exchange for rejecting the love, the goodness, the compassion, and the kindness of God. Will you not turn back to Him? Will you not reject such a sinful course and way that can only end up in the damnation of hell? Will you not repent? Will you not turn around? Will you not turn to the man Christ Jesus? Behold the man. The man who was crucified, dead and buried, and raised again from the dead and is alive forevermore. In Jesus, you see, is centered the love of God, and the love of God shines out from Him. And of course, He, the man Christ Jesus, behold the man, the one foundation of hope for anyone and any nation. Only hope is in Him. There is no other hope. I mean, what are you going to put your hopes in else? Huh? Going to put your hopes in the politicians? United States of Europe? United Nations? Well, the United Nations have been telling us for, since day one, you know, they're going to abolish war. More wars going on now today than ever there was in any other century. He said they were going to abolish starvation. There's still people in the world starving today. Said they were going to abolish child poverty. He said they were going to abolish all sickness. That's the United Nations. People, they haven't got the power to do that. They're just men, flesh and blood men, like you and I. Simple, wicked, evil men, just the same as you and I. They haven't got the power to produce the goods. There's no hope in the United Nations. There's no hope in the United States of Europe. Look at the mess that Europe's in. Look at the trouble that's brewing already in Germany and France. How long before it comes here to your own shores? No, people, there's no hope there. There's no hope in your vain philosophies. There's no hope in your world religions. They're the cause of your many problems. They're the cause of the most of the problems of the world today. Islam. Is that what you want? Is that what you're going to embrace next? You see, people, religion doesn't bring life. Religion doesn't bring goodness. Religion doesn't bring the love of God. Religion doesn't save anybody. It's a man. Behold the man. It's a man, Christ Jesus, that you need. It's a Savior that you need. One who has the ability, one in whom there is the fullness of God dwelling, and the one who has the power to deliver the goods, to change and transform you and make you a new creature in Himself, in Jesus Christ. He's the only foundation of hope, you know. All other ground is sinking sand. So what are you building on today? What are you building your future on? What are you building? What are you building your eternal destiny on? Sinking sand or the solid rock? What?
Well,
read the Bible, sir. Make your head better, make your heart better, make your whole body better. make everything better. Believe the Bible, sir. So you see, the only foundation of hope you see for anyone, any nation, and of course the only source of salvation. Salvation is not to be found, the Bible says, in any other name under heaven, under the whole canopy of heaven. Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man can come to the Father, get right with God, that is, get saved, but by me. Only one name, Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus. Behold the man, the Savior, the only Savior, the only one in whom there is found salvation. But you see, the man, Christ Jesus, behold the man, the exact imprint of the nature of God, the express image of God. People say, well, what does God look like? Well, read the Bible, read the Gospels, read about Jesus, and see what he's like. That's what God's like. He only ever went about doing good. Bible says even if his enemies testified, no one ever opened the eyes of the blind, but this man did, caring for the sick and healing them, delivering people from evil forces and powers of darkness. You see, that's what God's like. You see, he's just and holy, he's righteous, and yes, he will bring men to judgment, there's no question about that, but he's compassionate and merciful to those, that is, that will repent, that will listen, that will hear and turn to Jesus, repent and believe the gospel, and receive the kindness, the goodness and mercy of God. That is mercy, that is forgiveness with God, that he might be feared. Then, of course, well, he, Jesus, the man whom you're called upon here today to behold, see the man, Jesus, the one who is the substitute, you know, who stands up to the plate and willing to walk into death, you know, to take death upon himself for others. He died that others might live. He didn't die because he needed to. He didn't die because he had done anything wrong. He had sinned. Spotless, pure, sinless Lamb of God. So qualified him, you see, to be the Savior of the world. Now, he was dying in the place of sinners. He was taking the place of those, you see, who had sinned. He took the judgment that was due to all those who will believe in his name. He took the sin and he took the wrath of God upon himself on that cross so that you could come to him, so that you could trust in him, believe in his name, and that the wrath of God, you see, which is already revealed against you because of your ungodliness, unrighteousness, might be removed from you. Here's the thing, friends, you see, the justice of the judgment of God, you see, the wrath of God hangs over you like the sword of Damocles, waiting to fall upon you at any given moment. God chooses, you know, to remove you from this world. The point is for you to die once, and then after this then comes the judgment. But you see, Jesus died. He died on that cross to take the judgment of the sinner who puts their trust in him, so that sword of justice might be removed from you and removed forever. He took the place of the sinner. He wasn't dying. He wasn't dying because he had done wrong. He's the spotless, he's the harmless, he's the sinless, he's the undefiled Lamb of God, the Bible tells us. Behold Jesus, you know, the undefiled Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, God's provision for sinners like you and I, that we might be washed and made clean in his precious blood. But there's nothing else, people. There's nothing else to remove the stain. There's nothing else to take your sin away. Nothing else to atone for your sin. only God's Lamb, only Jesus, only the Son of God, who loved sinners so much that he was willing to bear that cross, to bear that suffering and shame and that judgment, to take it all upon himself that you might walk away free. So I tell you, behold the man Jesus, you know, is a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior, and able to save the worst and the best of you. Whatever you've been, whatever you've been doing, whatever catalogue of sin you got against you, however vile and unclean, however long you've been at it, however deep you are into it, however chained you are to it, Jesus can break the chains. He can set you free. He can wash you and make you clean. He can do for you what the law of God could never do. Commandments weren't given to save you. You can't keep them. You've never kept them up until now. Why should you suppose that you could begin to keep them now? It's an impossibility with you. You can't keep them. None of us can. We've all of us broken every one of God's commandments. But Jesus accomplished, he did, and he does for men and women who believe in his name what the law of God could never do. God's commandments were given to teach you what manner of sinner it is that you are. You see, those commandments were given to teach you, instruct you, a teacher if you like, schoolmaster, to teach you of your need of Christ, that you're lost, that you're blind, naked, destitute of any righteousness as far as God's concerned. So you see, it's only Jesus, only the man Jesus. Behold, the man Jesus, the one who alone can liberate, can set you free, can break the power of sin, cancel it. Some of you, I know you struggle with sin, just like anybody else. You struggle with your sinful habits, you know, you wish you never started them, you know, and you'd love to be able to get out. You look for some magical cure, some psychological babble you turn to, you know, to get you out of the habit. But it don't work. It don't work, not for long at least anyway. But when he breaks the chains, you know, you wish, you say, I wish I never started into the drugs. Wish I never started with a drink. Wish I never started with a filthy habit. But you see, people, Jesus can set you free. He can give you a new start, new heart, new beginning. He takes the desire out of your heart. That's what Jesus means when he says that a man must be born again. Because when a man's born again, God takes the love of sin out of his heart. God takes the desire, the strong desire for sin. Because that's the problem. We all desire what's sinful. Sin is all, every single one of us. You got strong desires for some sins, you know. Different ones, different people, but it's near. The desire for sin, sinful pleasures. But you see, when you're born again, when Jesus works that miracle in your heart, you see, makes you to love what you should love, and makes you hate what you should hate, hating the sin and loving God instead of the other way around. But you see, you're born a natural born sinner, natural born God hater and sin lover. Unless you're born again, lest God changes miraculously, changes that heart of yours and gives you a new heart. So I bid you behold the man, behold the depth of God's love, the immensity of God's love. You won't find that in Islam. You won't find that in the Pope's Rome. You won't find that in religion. You won't find that in Buddhism. The depth, the immensity, the vastness, vaster than an ocean, the love of God in Jesus Christ for sinful men and women. That's the gospel, people. Brings the life of God into the soul, brings the love of God into a man's heart, brings liberty, freedom from the chains of sin that bind you. So as Jesus, behold the man. You say, where can I find him? You say, where do I look for him? The pages of the Bible. You take God's word and read for yourself. Study these things, check them out. You know, you might get a surprise. You think it's about religion, but it's not. It's about a person. It's about the man Jesus. It's in here, it's in the word of God that you behold the man. Say that you'll find out about him. But of course you need more than to know about him. You need to know him personally. You need to know the living word. You need to know Jesus himself. Because this is eternal life, says Jesus. Knowing God, knowing him relationally, not knowing about him, knowing him personally and relationally. Knowing Jesus whom he sent. That's eternal life, people. That's eternal life. Behold the man Christ Jesus, the one of whom the entire Bible is about, from beginning to end, start to finish. But here, Mark's Gospel, it's a good summary, it's a good introduction, it's a good beginning. If you'd like to have a copy, it's offered to you free of charge.